Hello and welcome to this podcast produced by students at St. Andrew the Great Church, Cambridge. We hope you enjoy listening.
Hello and welcome to the first ever Students at St. Andrew the Great podcast. I'm Ben, I've been serving the students at our church for a couple of years now. I'm joined with Sarah. Welcome back to Cambridge, Sarah.
Thanks, Ben. Spent 7 years here, but I've been away in exile in London for a couple of years. Exciting to be back, especially now that Aldi and Lidl have moved down the road. I'm excited to be here for our first ever podcast for the SAG students. To give you a little bit of an idea of what we're going to be doing, each week we're going to spend 10 minutes in conversation chatting about something to encourage us in our faith as Christians. It might be that you want to download this and listen to it with some friends later in the week, or perhaps you could listen to it on a Sunday over some lunch. We hope it's really helpful and it starts some conversations.
One of the other things we're going to do is to get to know one of you every week, and we're also open to suggestions of other potential segments for the podcast, so do grab us if you have any good ideas. But early in the week I caught up with Tim Smith. Welcome, Tim, to the first ever Stag Students podcast. You're, I think, our most northerly student from this side of Hadrian's Wall. Tim is from the land of the Geordie. He's from up in Newcastle. But you're back in Cambridge after many, many months. What have you missed most about Cambridge?
Oh, that's a great question. I think I'd have to go off the basis of one of my dreams over the summer, which was that I was back in Mainsbury's doing my daily shop, my 55p loaf of bread. Really missed Sainsbury's. It's good to be back.
And you hadn't mispronounced that, had you? You did actually call it something
Mainsbury's, main Sainsbury's, as opposed to, you got Slocal, which is obviously Sainsbury's local. Lots of stuff like that going on. Also, McDonald's has to be a big one.
Nice. What do you go for in McDonald's? What's your standard?
Two burgers and a side, which can vary.
Very wise. Cheaper to get it off the saver menu. Absolutely. Bang that over. That's very valuable knowledge. And I thought, what's your favourite Cambridge term? So we got Michaelmas, Lent, Easter. What's your favourite?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think I'd have to say Easter, even though I've been deprived of one of them.
You just love exams.
Love exams so much. No, it's easily the most hectic term, but just lots of time doing, playing croquet, punting, lots of posh stuff like that. Love it.
Taking the boy out of Newcastle there. We live in times now where we're only allowed to gather in sixes. So I wanted you to sort of sell yourself a bit. Why would people want you in their six? What do you bring to the table?
Well, it has been said on numerous occasions that I am, whatever this means, I'm surprisingly tall.
It's true. When you meet Tim, he's surprisingly tall.
There's been various theories about why this is the case. Some reckon I have a small personality. Some reckon I have a small head. But I think I have a very small torso. I think that's what I've worked out.
You really thought about it.
Small torso and long legs. So it means when I stand up, I suddenly command a room.
Okay, so that's good for being in a six. Makes for a good picture.
A skyline. Good skyline. Yeah, that's
nice. You bake a bit as well, don't you? You make a few cakes.
I do. It's my procrastination of choice is a bit of baking. I take my time, quite a few cups of tea, maybe do a crossword while it's in the oven.
Cool. That's very grown up. You come to most of the Stag, don't you? So you're often at Focus, there on a Sunday. Over your first 2 years in Cambridge, what do you think the best thing about kind of finding time in your week to listen to Jesus has been?
Yeah, so one of the things I've really appreciated is coming to Focus on a Tuesday evening and just really hearing the gospel preached in a, you know, we have a short talk. So in first year it was from John, from second year it was from Acts, and each time just hearing about Jesus, it's often just a really simple, clear message about what he's done for us and his character. And sometimes when it's in the middle of maybe quite a tough week, in the middle of a Cambridge winter and it can be quite dark, just hearing that, kind of having that light in the middle of the week of hearing about Jesus, it's such a you know, it can really just give you the drive to get through.
Mm. It's refreshing, isn't it? It's just something else. It's something else other than maths. We didn't say that. Tim studies maths. Other than maths to listen to. Thanks, Tim. Thanks very much. We're going to carry on doing that this year. We'll be looking at Romans together. And also, every week on this podcast, we're going to try and get to know another Stag student. As we know, it's quite hard to get to know people at the moment. So if you see Tim around, he's very friendly. And you can make your own mind up whether he is surprisingly tall or not. I'm back now with Sarah, and we're going to spend a few moments just thinking about what it means to be a Christian at university. What actually does that look like? What is the big picture? And we thought that maybe a good way into this was thinking, what would make the best outcome of just this term? So Michaelmas 2020 is ahead of us. What would be the best outcome for the term? Sarah, any thoughts on?
I guess the big thing on our minds, possibly a vaccine for COVID. That would be a pretty good outcome Christmas.
Aim big. Maybe you could be the person to solve it. Maybe getting to go home for Christmas. That's been up in the air, hasn't it, for students? Hopefully Big Boris will let you go home over Christmas. A supervisor who loves you. That would be another bit of a Cambridge dream, wouldn't it? Or maybe something more serious, like making some friends, having some people who you think I could really get to know these people over the next few years, especially if you're new here in Cambridge.
Yeah, I remember quite vividly coming up as a fresher many moons ago, arriving at Magdalen, having big hopes for my kitchen experience of uni. I'd basically bought out the IKEA kitchenware department and brought it with me, and had my hopes dashed pretty quickly by the gyp room, which only had a hob and a microwave.
Oh, that's so sad.
I know, but yeah, so that didn't happen. But I think I also had big hopes for making Christian friends. I think that was one of my big priorities for the term. I'd been brought up and come from a church where there weren't many Christians my own age, and was quite looking forward to making some Christian friends in Cambridge. I think that was a big priority for me that term. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder what people are expecting us to say. So they're tuned in to something that a church has put on. I guess maybe you're expecting us to say things like, make sure you go to church, go to every meeting, get a colour in your Google calendar for the time you'll spend doing Christian things. You very quickly realise that you could fill a lot of your time with going to various Christian meetings of one sort of the other. I wonder if that's the sort of thing.
Yeah, and I guess actually it can sometimes feel like Jesus can make our life more complicated and more stressful. Like, is he just adding in more things into my busy Cambridge schedule this term, this year? But we're gonna have a think now about a little snippet from Luke's Gospel, Luke's account of Jesus' life, and we're gonna have a think about what Jesus actually says would be the best outcome for us this term. And I think, as Ben and I have been thinking about this, we've just realised that it's actually way simpler on one level than we thought, but actually also way more profound. So we're gonna think about this little incident where Jesus has been traveling around, and we're in Luke chapter 10 verse 38 to 42 if you're interested in following along. But he's come to the home of two women called Martha and Mary, and we meet them in verse 38 and 39 of that chapter, and we kind of get a little insight into these two women and what they're like. So there's Martha. She, we're told, opens her home to Jesus. And I think that's a bit more than just inviting him in, sitting him down on the sofa and giving him a cup of tea. I think in the context of the previous chapters, that's actually quite a radical thing to do. She's actually siding with Jesus, where she could have just shut the door on him and rejected him like lots of other people.
Yeah, welcoming Jesus is a big deal. She's a kind of person who's come, and she's ready for Jesus, ready to be with him. And then you've got her sister, Mary, as well, who, depending on your character, will depend on how you feel about Mary. She isn't that keen to get involved with making the dinner, it seems. She just sits listening to Jesus, it says, just sits listening to all that he has to say. But both of them seem pretty good. I know, Sarah, you sympathise with Martha a lot, don't you? You kind of feel like you might be Martha.
Yeah, well, she's the activist. She's the one who seems to be like actually doing stuff. And in verse 40, she comes to Jesus with what seems to be quite an understandable objection. She says, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." She seemingly quite rightly is annoyed that Mary has left her to one side doing all the serving and caring about Jesus.
You see the difference between me and Sarah there. I read that and I think Martha's gone to tell her parents on Mary not doing anything. But I think that's right, isn't it? I think that Martha is, like, she cares a lot about Jesus. Hospitality is a big deal. She wants to look after him well and wants Mary to join her in that.
But actually, we also get a little insight into what's going on in Martha, I think, because she's actually quite stressed, and she seems to be quite resentful, both of Mary, her sister, but also of Jesus. So let's then introduce the third character into this scenario, the elephant in the room, the person who hasn't been introduced yet.
Yeah, the Lord Jesus himself. He just comes across so well. So Martha, like you say, comes to him and says, look, why are you not making my sister do more things with me? And Jesus is so compassionate with Martha. He cares about her. He knows that she's worried and that she's upset. And he wants what's best for Martha. I think that's the thing that I see as I read that, that he's interested in Martha having what is best for her. It's a wonderful thing. You come to university, Jesus is he's on our side. He wants what's best for us.
But what is that best thing? And it's interesting. He says that Mary has chosen what is better. And there's only one thing that really matters, one thing that's necessary. And what was it that Mary was doing? Well, she was sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to him. So what Jesus seems to be saying to Martha is, Martha, the thing you really need, the only thing that matters, is to listen to me.
Would you say to someone, just play devil's advocate, he says, that sounds very boring. So you've come to university, you're going to listen to a lot of people. You've got lecturers who are going to talk to you on Zoom probably, but they're still going to be talking to you. You've got new flatmates who want to talk to you about themselves as well. Isn't it a bit boring just to think, oh, it's all about listening again?
Yeah, it could seem like that. But I think in Luke's gospel, listening is a really relational thing. So back in chapter 8, Jesus has gathered some people around him and they're sitting listening to him. And he says they are like his mothers and his brothers. They're basically his family, which I think is pretty exciting. It means that listening is a relational thing. It means that listening to Jesus isn't some kind of functional tick list thing or a dry thing. It's getting to enjoy a relationship with Jesus, which I think is pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. If we bring that all the way back round to thinking what the best outcome of the term will be, what would make a good term, Michaelmas 2020, well, it is almost that simple. It's enjoying that relationship with the Lord Jesus, listening to him. And it might actually mean that we do less kind of formal Christian activities. Actually, that's not in its essence what it means to belong to Jesus. It's about listening to his voice and enjoying that relationship, which is liberating, right? Like, that's a good thing.
Yeah. I wonder if it changes the question from where do I squeeze Jesus in this year, like where can I fit him in, to how can I best make the most of listening to Jesus, enjoying this relationship that I have with him.
Yeah, and it's what we need most because he cares about us, like not what we need most to pass our degree or something. And it's what we're praying for students, isn't it? It's what we as a church, we're all about, as a community, listening to Jesus, encouraging others to do the same, encouraging everyone to do the same. So whether you're returning from a really hard couple of months at home, or it's longer than that, isn't it? 6-7 months at home, or you feel like you're on top of things and summer's been a real encouragement, or Cambridge is all new, this is what we all need the most. It's the reminder that you and I need this week as we plan, that listening to Jesus is the one thing that won't be taken away from us. That we have a relationship with the Lord to enjoy.
So I hope this has been an encouragement to you guys as you set off on another year or a new year. It's actually been really helpful for me personally at the beginning of a busy year, a new job for me as well, just kind of reorienting myself and thinking, what is it that I really want? What is it that Jesus wants for me? We're looking forward to seeing you guys soon, and hope this has been a helpful conversation.